9:00. Let's go ahead and call the meeting in order. If you wouldn't, please stand for the pledge. Salute the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mr. Robert?
Father, we thank you for this day and all the blessings that we receive. We ask you now to be with us, attend with business of our community, and let every decision you made tonight bring honor and glory in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, first up, we'll have the approval of the June 18, 2024 meeting minutes. Need a motion to approve those?
I make a motion to approve the June 18 minutes.
Need a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries, none opposed. All right. Next up, you'll have your June 2024 financial statements. Have any questions, let us know. We did have an increase in our insurance. I don't think you'll see that one on this one, but it will be coming. Everyone is having an increase on their insurance, so from what I'm hearing.
I'll make a motion to approve the June financial.
Do we have a second? All in favor say aye. Opposed, motion carries. Next will be number four, the ARPA fund agreement from Coosa County Chamber of Commerce for programmable LED signs. We're gonna have Attorney Young touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that we spoke briefly about it at our last meeting. They were certainly kind enough to offer us money to produce some kind of message board for things going on in the community. The hook in the meat, not intentional, was that the cost of maintaining it, the cost, not only maintaining it from an equipment standpoint, but maintaining the information. We've got one employee here at the city hall and has our hands full with everything else, having to do that, the placement of it. And I read through that, and I talked to Leslie and the mayor about this. I read through that agreement that they wanted placed over here, as I understand it, at the Family Center, which is, you know, off on the side street, didn't do us any good. But that's kind of where their placement was going to be. So, having said that, my biggest question last time, if you remember, Robert, was that, you know, while we can get it for that, we're going to be, you know, the perpetual nature of the cost of keeping it up, keeping it fresh from an information standpoint, erecting it and all that. Because I think the sign was paid for, but the erection of the sign was not paid for, nor was the power to run it and all that kind of thing. And I frankly don't know, but I know that there was some conversation, I believe, that you had with somebody at the Board of Education or wherever, that they had one. Now, I don't know what the cost would be, but here again, and y'all just have to get up to the council, as legal opinions, you know, I'm looking at, you know, our dedication to taxpayers' money perpetually, and is that something that the taxpayers, that we as a council and city want the taxpayers to be responsible for perpetually, when we can't connect the dots between value and cost of it. The value meaning the value would be to the community versus the cost of maintaining. And those are my questions, you know, because I think we're obligated legally to be good guardians of the stewards of this money. And that's why I just bring that to your attention. It's, of course, up to this very wise council to decide whatever they want to do about that.
So I looked over the agreement. I wasn't here at the last meeting and looked at it in very detail. There is a lot in there. So And of course, we do appreciate the money that we would be receiving to do this. So what I would like to do, if the council agrees, and if we have any further discussion, we can do that, is I would like to get with Mr. Stover to see what all they have in theirs, how much work goes into it and maintaining that. The biggest thing I do see is the location of the event center. If we were to obtain that going forward, if the cost wasn't going to be too much to maintenance or maintain, or too much work for us to keep up, it would have to be located here in an area around Town Hall, because those are, you do them digitally, like Bluetooth or something like that. So whereas I don't think it's feasible for Leslie to have to get in the car and run down there and program something in. And in the agreement, another thing we'll make sure of is how we will be sharing stuff out for the community, but how much stuff would actually have to be shared out? Is something just going to rise and we have to run down there and do it, or work that out? So there's a lot of questions I have, and we can get with the commission on that to just see how in detail in the agreement before we, ARPA funds runs out 2026.
Mayor, may I mention one last thing? You know, I would love to examine also whether there is some provision through this agreement to provide for an alternate type of message. For instance, can we use $5,000 to upgrade our website, where we can post things that might be able to be used and have the same value, maybe even higher value from a usage standpoint than it would be on a digital sign over here on Side Street. And just wondering if they would consider any of those options as something we could look at as well.
And in the meantime, while we're doing it, I'm going to be looking at the best location possible for the sign and what we need to do to obtain the user agreements and what will be susceptible to the commission for the placement of that sign on those properties as well. So does anyone else have any discussion on
why if the county commission give the money to the chamber to disperse between Goodwater and Walker Kelton, whoever, why now does the county commission have a say-so in what happens?
Well, I think it's through the, if I understood it, it's through the
COVID
money, and I think it actually, I don't know, did it go from the county to the chamber, or the chamber to the county? Chamber of the county, right? That's what I thought. County to chamber. And now, so what did the chamber giving it back to them?
What the chamber intended or it had hoped to use it for was not within the parameters of what it could be used for.
Okay.
So now they're trying to share the wealth. I guess my question is it really the chamber's to give away, or is it really go revert back to the county, and is it the county's to give away?
Well, that's my thing. If the chamber gives it to us, why do we have to get in a contract with the county commission?
Right. And it's a great gesture.
But who is it feasible to be down there where nobody has seen it?
I mean, 95% of traffic is on this road right here. Why in the world you want to put it? Now, I can see putting it out there next to 22, but not right over there next to the building or on the front face of the building.
And you know, now with social media and all the other things, everybody's got a computer now, it seems like if we could upgrade a message board through a website or whatever, it seems like it'd be a heck of a lot better usage.
And to send out some kind of new program too, it'll send out automated messages and stuff too as well. That might be something to look at as well. So that's where I'm at. I don't know that we need to say no at this point. We just need to exhaust all measures and see what we can do.
We've got January 31st of this year to get the money, if I read it right, and until 26 to use it. December 31 of 26 to use it.
So we can take a little time, and I'll get with him and get some stuff in order to have in next meeting.
Mayor, would you inquire about that, whether there's some alternatives to the digital board as far as messaging goes? Just maybe worth an ask.
We'll send an email to Amy and let her check on the line. So, is everyone okay with that? Any other suggestions? Okay. All right, and we'll just have a motion to table that to the next meeting until I find out all those.
Motion to table.
All in favor?
Aye.
All All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, number five, the Coosa County Health Department has asked for another appropriation. I know they come out here one time before and asked for that. If I remember right, in that meeting, didn't we ask for some stats and stuff, which I don't think we have received, have we? Okay. So I didn't think it would be, I mean, I thought that I should let the council make the decision rather than me make that alone.
Let me take that back. He did reply to you in an email and said that he had not gathered all the information yet. So he replied, but not with the information.
Correct. So therefore, I can't make it determine, me personally, I can't make it determine nation on what, you know, what's going on or anything like that. I just do know from personal, I went down there and I couldn't obtain the stuff that I needed and I ended up going to LSE. So, anyways, anyone got any discussion on that? Because I do recall us asking for some stats.
We just think because it's a state funded, they get so much state funded funds.
Right. I would love to give everybody money, but we have stuff to handle and take care of as well.
I agree with Naisha. I don't understand how a state agency can expect a little tiny town to help. It doesn't make sense to me without more information from them.
Yeah, so, ask that to the level of service needed, really.
So do we just want to go on and just, just go on and deny that until they either approach us again or give us some better stats like we requested? So, do I have a motion that we just go ahead and deny that appropriation?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
None opposed, motion carries. All right, so number six, I wanted to talk about, really it's more ordinance than zoning, but it come up as a zoning ordinance. We received a call last week. Maybe, is it last week from the lady that we're talking about? Appraisal lady about a business right next door that is appraising for value because they changed or sold out. We told her we didn't have any zoning and she was wondering. Biggest thing is most people do have some zoning in place for commercial business and stuff. This stuff can get way carried out of hand sometimes, but we, going forward with business and stuff, we need to start thinking about some kind of something to put into place. So let's say, God forbid, the building that I own at the corner burns down or something happens and I have that vacant piece of property there. I don't think Mr. Johnson's gonna like it if I just can go take and put 20 pigs there and let them wallow around next to his business, you know? So I don't know the correct way we need to handle this, but we need to be looking at something to help the growth of the town, is basically where it is. So, you know, there's a place for everything, and I would never do that, but I don't think, there's nothing saying that I can't, but I don't think I ever would, but we need to look at some stuff with the growth of the town. So, I'm gonna let you touch on that.
I think that all towns have certain zoning, you know, ordinances, and then you do it for obvious reasons, you know, to keep a continuity in an area. For instance, if you had a bunch of stick built for one place and somebody wants to put some manufactured house or a mobile home or a big style, you know, not that those are equivalent, but I'm saying wants to do something that's really not conforming or not in keeping with what you're trying to present. You know, we look at business licenses here, and one of the things in the definition is, you know, does this business promote the prosperity of the area? You know, and I think that we have to keep that in mind. And as you grow, and we are growing, you know, it's hard to back up. You need to get some zoning ideas in mind so we can put it into effect now. so that we're not having to do it when it gets to be more controversial. And the predictability, that way, people like the realtor that called the city hall to ask will know when they're selling something that, you know, there's ordinances, you can't do this here. So it's the old rule of law, you know, you can depend on the consistency of this area, you know, but as a business area, you know, or whatever. And you don't have the nightmare that you just have kind of examined.
Yeah, well, one other thing that come up too is I had a call from the new bank that's going in, and they wanted to know if we have any setbacks for adjoining property owners. And I started looking at that and realized that a lot of people do have setbacks where you can't just build your buildings up to the road like several of us have here in the past. There's a reason for that, parking, et cetera, and things like that, or with the water board being next door, that they can't just butt right up to the edge of their property.
The back of the Dollar General building is, and this is a guess on my part, 5 or 6 feet off my property line at the most. So there's a commercial building within, you know, 5 or 6 feet of my residential lot.
So there's some good that most of them come out of it, but it's something we need to look at and think really hard on.
May I mention one more thing, Mayor, and I don't mean to occupy your town, but it's not unusual for any town. We're not so small that some of this stuff doesn't apply to us. I mean, I hear it all the time. Why don't we worry about that? We're just a small town. Well, you know, we're a small town growing, and you've got to think about things like that. And it's certainly not unusual for a town the size of Rockford or whatever to have zoning ordinances. It's probably more unusual that they don't have, frankly, but so I don't think it's something so far-fetched that we ought not be thinking about what you want your city, you know, your town to look like, and, you know, how you want to control the growth of it, and what the location of certain things here, you know. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say.
The way Rockford's laid out, if you were going to zone it, how would you zone it? There's right hand go from the Baptist church to the Methodist church. How many places you got for business to build?
Right.
And how many houses you got in them right there. So if you zone something for business, which the business wants to come in, the only place they got is where the bank doing the work down here. Now, everything around it is the house except the water board and dog run. Everything else is residential. So how would you?
Well, I'm going to tell you this, having been on the planning commission before, which is a thankless job, by the way, having been on the planning, you have zoning, but zoning also can be changed. You know, if the character of an area begins to change, Robert, you certainly could look at a vote by the council who sets the zoning ordinances in changing an ordinance if you saw fit. Now, I don't think it ought to be happening every time the wind blows, that you're changing, because you know you want to add some
good. Well, just, you know, this is the way I sound, but just suppose Digger really wants to come to Rockford.
Yeah.
And you've got this zone down here for residential. And then Digger really wants to come in, and the only place they got is right beside it. If you rezone it, what's going to happen to the people?
Well, and there's your fight. Mm-hmm. That's what I, you know, That would be the fight the planning commission or council would have to hear from those property owners on both sides. And they would have to make a decision about, you know, much like business licenses that we issue or don't issue. You know, you got to make a decision about that. But you're right. I mean, that's a very real
problem. We're talking about a house down here somebody's been living in for 50, yeah, 60 years. But we're taking my house up here. It's in the city limits.
Right.
And there's nothing around me except for houses.
Right.
I own it all the way to the highway. If I wanted to sell it to Lynn Ann to put a Piggy Wiggy on up there.
Yeah. Well, there may be some combinations of some zoning that you can do. I've seen it where it's business residence.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's my concern about this zoning. Yeah. Which I'm not real big on zoning because you zone something. I'm telling you what you can, you can't do with your land.
Right.
And I'm not real big on that.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Robert, since you mentioned that. I guess we got to decide what kind of, I don't know, we'll use the word respect, but what kind of value we're going to put also on our neighbor's property. Do we owe them some what I'm gonna call collateral support. Do we owe them, you know, we owe them not to diminish their property as well.
I understand. That's like the big pin next to something.
Exactly.
I understand it. Which also, my son lives in Opelika down there. In the subdivision they live in, have to have a privacy fence. But the privacy fence has got to have the good side facing your house, and I'm paying for it.
Right.
And his privacy fence is facing, the two privacy fences, the good side are facing one another, and there's enough room between them to walk between.
Yeah, that's where, I mean,
you know, it's just.
That's where it gets a little.
It's a hot button ticket, there's no doubt about that, you know, and how you do it. But all I'm saying is that it's not unusual that towns have them. I think it's up to the fathers of the town, the leaders of the town like yourself to decide what you want, how much protection you want for any given areas. You know, do you want, what do you want to allow here right on Main Street? You know, what, you know, those kind of things, those are decisions I've got to make.
And it might be defined to just the Main Street, you know. But it's not saying, hey, that you've lived here 56 years in this house, we're going to zone it commercial, now you can't live here. That'll be grandfathered in, but it's to say that, let's just say, right here, if the house burns down or something, then it goes commercial if you're not going to build back or something. So that's.
So you're going to take down here, Aunt Slater's house down. If her house burns down and that was zoned commercial today, and her house burned down, you're going to.
She could build it back, but it's where you put the rammers of the business. Like if my building burns, you don't want me to build a house right there, do you?
What about the house that burned up here?
Right. What about that house that burned next to the
Sally's house?
Well, Sally's house.
You know, if they decide they want to pull five campers in there right now, they can do that.
And this protection all the way around, but it's a hard subject.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I go back to that thing. I mean, it is here's land.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want anybody telling me what I can and cannot do on something I bought, paid for, paid the taxes on every year.
But if you knew, Robert, let me ask you this. If you knew going into buying that property, I understand you're talking about people on it for years. If you go into buying that property and you knew it was zoned commercial, you would know right then what you could do with it.
That's right.
One way or another.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those that have houses, businesses, or whatever, as they are now, they're going to stay in a business, residence, zoning. There's no doubt about that. I don't think that's going to change.
Well, that's my only issue. And I would be like, we built a subsection in a big subdivision in Elmore County on that. People jumped up and down through it. Because earlier we went in a chain link fence and we put them slats in where you couldn't see through it. And I think that's what would be behind the Dollar General down there. A fence to keep their garbage on their
people
side.
I love that.
And people do
things
that.
Like that.
I would love that.
And basically, it don't boil down to one person. It'll be a board deciding that. But
yeah,
we're at a point where I really don't know what we need to do. Because I know, for instance, right now, the property next door to us that we park on that Mr. Davis owns, if he wants to come up here and put three cows on it right now, he can. You know, do we need cows right here next to the town hall? And that's the point I'm making. So, you know, and I've got the playground. I own the property next to the playground.
Well, Crusader's got a thing down there where my daughter lives that you can't have livestock. In this town, Lynch City, whatever it is, can't have livestock in it.
Yeah, Jenny's got that, I think, as well.
But then there's another thing that hits. I own 40 acres here in town.
Yep.
You know, I'm not, you know, my stuff's back at the thing. What do you decide? Do you decide that 1 acre right here next to town, you can't have it? You got to have multiple land? I mean, it's a long, drawn out thing to approach, but we got to start somewhere.
Big old conversation.
And that's basically what we're doing. We need to sit back and really think about it, because it's getting asked more frequent now, and we got to decide where we're going to grow with the growth of the town.
I also think that some of this is coming from the fact that there have been so many new residents coming from out of state, and they're used to all this, and so when they get here and they hear there's no zoning or there's no permits required or there's no this and there's no that, they're kind of like.
Really, no permits?
Right, you know? Right. So, and I'm not saying that makes it right or wrong. Yeah. I'm just saying that, because I know when we moved here, I was calling town hall constantly. Are you sure we can put a trailer for my parents? Are you sure we can do this? Are you sure we can do that? And I think they thought I was nuts, and they're like, lady, we've told you 50 times, the answer is you can do whatever you want. And I was like, but that isn't how it is where we came from. So yeah. We were, I think that's part of the whole that nobody believes that there's really no zoning or no rules to follow.
And then if you look at the place they did put in, it's very nice. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't stop somebody from going and buy a 1920 and pulling it in or something. So it boils down to integrity and stuff.
It's a hard discussion. You gotta decide what direction you're going at. That's what it comes down to. And if it's good for the town of Rockford, then fine. If not, then, you know, but like I say, you get asked more and more questions. You know, it's gonna be hard to crawfish once it happens, and then you don't have an ordinance, and how do you change that?
And it might be that, looking at something too, look at the Dollar General we have down here. We have the Dollar General, there's a space in between it, then you have Central Alabama Electric Co-op, but then you have the Water Board. We might need to make that block commercial block or something. So that's where stuff would go. You know, I don't know. But it's something to think about, and I guess we can get more in depth with that. So, because we do have ordinances in the place now for cleaning up and stuff of that sort. So, all right. So we don't have to have a vote or nothing on that. It was just to talk about. So. All right. Now moving forward, number 7, the 4-way and traffic signal agreement from Alibi. So. We had a meeting here, a few of the council members and everything. I think Mr. Robert was in the meeting. Lynn, he was here. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think we were all here.
No, Dallas was here. So, but anyways, so what came from that meeting was some alternative ways to make the 4-way safer. We met with Senator Chambliss was here. Representative Robbins wanted to be here, but he couldn't make it. Mr. DeJarvis was here with Albot, and also Shannon Jones, and then their project engineer, Mr. Smith, was here. So we talked about it, showed some video of what we had happening, and they've come up with some solutions to put the stop ahead or head stop on the roads. They're wanting to make some adjustments to the caution lights, the flashing caution lights, and then what else did we say? Other than that, that was
set the setbacks. Like if you've noticed the white lines, or especially like here in front of northbound on 231, the setback is for to stop is quite a bit further back from the intersection.
And then we talked about some trees that are really impeding, and they're going to be trailed and cut back as well. But in doing that, since that meeting, Mr. Shannon Jones has sent an agreement with some upgrades that they're wanting to do with flashing sequence lights at the 4-way. I had a conversation with him when he reached out to me about that, and we talked about those in a use agreement, which the town does have use agreements with the state of Albot. The biggest thing is the maintenance of those signals. We don't currently maintenance those signals in the 4-way. Aldot does that. The electrical is on us that they maintenance. In this agreement that we received, Leslie, that was
yesterday.
I scanned through a lot of it, and there's quite a few things in here I don't like. Would be actually putting us maintenance those lights if they go out. And like I expressed to him in that conversation on the phone, that the town of Rockford, I'm not going to spend taxpayer money to go buy a bucket truck to, you know, to have to maintenance those lights. He said that he would help us out in doing that, but know that if those lights went out, he serves 3 surrounding areas that can't run down here right then. Which I told him we'd have a maintenance man just periodically look, and we would look to help when they go out. But I feel like if they're going to help us take care of that, they need, in the agreement, it needs to state that they'll be handling the maintenance of those lights, and we'll be happy to pay the electrical for those. price.
So are they just going to be replacing them with LEDs that are brighter, or like what are these new lights?
So from what we're seeing in the diagram right here, right now you have four. So north, south, east, and west. What they're doing is they're adding a signal light in each lane of traffic, whereas now you just have the ones that in the middle. So you'll go to six lights there.
Do we have much maintenance on the lights?
Those bulbs do go out every now and then. I think they were out for quite some time here recently.
And that's one thing, if I may interject. I want y'all to look at paragraph 7 in particular, what bothers me to no end. They've got us, we're the maintaining agency. That's our reference in that agreement, okay? Provide all electrical on a continual basis in the time of construction. Agrees to further maintain the equipment and are associated or in good state of repair. I don't know who's making that call, but it's just as required in accordance with applicable documents, manual and uniform traffic, etc. All any traffic signal and equipment associated must also be maintained according to any traffic operating plan of the state. Now, this is what I bring to your attention from a liability standpoint. Because it says if something happens to us, it must be repaired immediately. What is our exposure? You got a light on this agreement that goes out or something happens or a storm, whatever, and we don't repair it immediately, and somebody has a wreck as a result of it, where are we on that? And I don't know. It has bothered me, though, that, if a malfunction presents a potential hazard to the monitoring public and the maintaining agency is unable to repair it, has got it, in a timely manner as determined by the state, by the way, the maintaining agency agrees that the state reserves the right to do it. So they can come in, probably going to give us a bill along with that, and they're going to make it, we'll do that. But if we're not doing it immediately and something happens, what's our exposure? That's all right.
And my thing at reading some things as far as taking over connected links in towns and stuff, all that's some iffy, touchy stuff on what we're required to do versus the state. One thing I've had a hard time, yes, those are two roads crossing in our town, but those are both state highways crossing. Why are we trying to put this back on us?
Yeah.
This, you know, so in Highway 9 and 22, does the county, you know, are they responsible for that?
Well,
no.
What are they going to ask you? Does the state make all these little bitty communities pay for the lights of them? Sure.
Or Goodwater on Highway 9?
No.
So that's my issue with it. So you're aware of what's going on, I would like for us to table this, and we'll reach out, and we'll have Mr. Young also probably reach out to them as well as our attorney to just sort some things out, because the way it states now, sure, I want added measures to help that four-way, no doubt.
Yes.
But we do not have the means to get up there and maintenance those lights immediately if they go out.
Yeah, I don't want the state to think we're not grateful that they're finally doing what asked them to do for 2 years. But yes, I think there definitely needs to be some.
I don't know when parameters they got in the business of requiring Rockford to maintain safety of state highways. Also, in 7A, they've seen instances where ALDOT maintains a fiber optic. Do they do that down there? Because that the maintaining agency, us again, shall maintain the fiber optic cable.
We don't have a licensed electrician to maintain
that. They're calling on us, but we got no way.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing I think I've had Chris do one time, and I've done one time, is they left a temporary stop sign out here, so when they got knocked down, we could run up there and put it in the center of the road. It started happening so frequently, we couldn't keep up with it. And we only had one when three was knocked down at one time. So that's just one out on that. So. as of right now, this is the measures they're willing to take as far as the issues we have. They did state that the road dive was not off the table, you know, but this is the measures they're willing to take right now to try to help solve some of the issues. So, do we any other discussion on that?
Or is the council directing me to contact them? Let me ask, the purpose of it is to say, number one, we got problems with this contract, and number two, why are we doing it? Why are we having to do it at all? Is that what I'm asking?
Right. Okay. Right. So we need to make a motion to that? Just a table, we'll table it.
Table and instruct council to further inquire about circumstances around the contract or whatever.
I'll make a motion to table the traffic signal agreement with ALDOT while Attorney Young and Mayor White do some more research on it.
Have a second.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. All in favor, motion carries. All right, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Have a second.
Shut up. You ain't shut up yet.
I know. I'm looking at you. I knew you.
All right, thank you.